Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 251 to close at 24,415. S&P 500 down 18 at 2,705. NASDAQ Composite down 20 at 7,442. Russell 2000 small and mid caps down 14 at 1,633. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 2 basis points at 2.82%. Oil down $1.11 at $67.10 per barrel. Gold down $3 at $1,298.90 per ounce. After a momentous day on the international trade front, Wall Street closed lower for the fourth time in the past five sessions. While stocks ended May on a sour note, major indices still posted monthly gains, with the small cap Russell 2000 outpacing its large cap rivals. For the month of May, the Dow Industrials gained 1%, while the S&P 500 advanced 2.2%, and the NASDAQ booked a 5.3% increase. The Russell 2000 index of small cap stocks left its large cap rivals behind with a 6% advance in the month of May. The index finished at an all-time high on Wednesday at 1646, rose in early action today, but retreated by the end of the day. The tariff issue cast a pall over the animal spirits. Late yesterday, we heard a warning that the White House would announce tariffs would kick in, and that official announcement was today. The latest moves include the imposition of steel and aluminum tariffs on allies that seemed likely to gain exemptions, including Canada, Mexico, and the 28 countries of the European Union. Trump has now made clear no exemptions. Steel imports from those places will be taxed at 25%, aluminum imports at 10%. Those are huge numbers. The average tariff rate on U.S.-EU traded goods is under 3%. The targeted countries responded almost immediately. Mexico announced it will impose tariffs on American imports in retaliation. EU Trade Commission said in a statement that Europe would impose rebalancing measures, likely meaning some kind of retaliatory tariff on U.S. imports, and take any other necessary steps to protect the EU market. Possible European targets for tariff increases include American bourbon, blue jeans, and motorcycle exports. The EU, Canada, and Mexico are, respectively, the United States' first, third, and fourth largest trading partners. And don't forget China, which may or may not be facing up to $150 billion in tariffs on imports to the U.S. or not. Nobody seems certain from day to day. While steel and aluminum tariffs alone aren't the end of the world, a trade war, defined as the two sides getting locked in a cycle of retaliatory tariff increases, well, that could be a problem. A serious decline in trade between the U.S. and these three partners could do immense damage to the U.S. economy and create major consequences for the rest of the world. One study from the Council on Foreign Relations estimates that the steel tariffs will destroy 40,000 jobs in America's automobile manufacturing industry alone, one-third of the entire domestic steel industry. 2002, we saw tariffs wipe out 200,000 manufacturing jobs. And while that might be reason to rein in the dogs of a trade war, there are very real problems with global steel markets. There are too many factories making too much steel. When a country has a lot of steel and not enough people to sell it to, its government has an incentive to engage in unfair trade practices that give its steel producers a leg up on their international competition. But the biggest overproducer is China, not the EU, Canada, or Mexico. And this action today does very little, if anything, to affect China. Instead, we're hitting our closest allies and partners with a set of tariffs under the justification of national security. Trump has put more tariffs on longtime U.S. allies than he has on China, his supposed bad guy on trade. And we're already seeing retaliation from our trading partners. The president of the European Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker, promised immediate retaliation. French President Emmanuel Macron called the U.S. tariffs illegal and a mistake, while the Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau issued an immediate dollar-for-dollar response, announcing tariffs of up to 25% on U.S. imports worth up to $16 billion Canadian dollars, which was the total value of Canadian steel exports to the U.S. last year. The tariffs will cover steel and aluminum, as well as orange juice, whiskey, and other food products. Those tariffs are expected to take effect on July 1st. With the White House having used national security legislation to introduce the tariffs, Trudeau called the measure an affront to Canadians who had fought alongside their American comrades in arms. Trudeau said that Canada could be considered a national security threat to the U.S. is inconceivable. Mexico said it would adopt equivalent measures on a variety of products, including flat steel, lamps, pork legs and shoulders, sausages and food preparations, apples, grapes, cranberries, various cheeses, and other products up to an amount comparable to damage caused by the U.S. action. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross blamed insufficient progress in talks with Mexico and Canada to renegotiate NAFTA for the U.S.'s decision to slap tariffs on its two neighbors. The immediate damage from the tariffs and retaliation from trading partners should be manageable. Prices for inputs like steel move around all the time, and businesses are generally pretty good at adapting. There will be a lot of focus in the weeks ahead on the direct first-round effects of the steel and aluminum tariffs. No doubt certain products will cost a bit more. Supply chain managers will grab another cup of coffee and do what they need to do. The bigger problem is uncertainty arising from erratic policy. It's easy to imagine an escalating cycle of even more tariffs, and that's how trade wars get started. Steel and aluminum stocks rallied initially, but subsequently pared gains or even turned lower. They remained down sharply from levels seen following the Trump administration's initial tariff announcements in March. Shares of AK Steel down 1.3% today. U.S. Steel advanced 1.7%. Nucor held on for a 0.1% gain. Italy appears to have stepped back from the brink of a continent-rattling political crisis, with officials agreeing to a deal that averts the threat of fresh elections and puts two populist parties in charge of the Eurozone's third-largest economy. The anti-establishment five-star movement and the far-right League will govern together, forming the first purely populist coalition to lead a core Western European country since the creation of the European Union. The new government will be under immediate pressure to improve economic conditions. Meanwhile, in Spain, longtime Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy is expected to be forced out of office in a confidence vote on Friday. Rajoy's center-right People's Party has been snared in a series of corruption scandals and lost the support of a key ally. Rajoy is expected to be replaced by Pedro Sanchez, leader of the center-left socialist. Shares of General Motors up 12.9% after GM said the SoftBank Vision Fund plans to invest $2.25 billion in its self-driving unit. Shares of Tesla down 2.4%. Meanwhile, Waymo, the driverless technology company spun out of Google, has agreed to purchase as many as 62,000 minivans from Fiat Chrysler Automobiles to use in a ride-hailing service set to begin commercial operations later this year. The announcement is the latest sign that Waymo is counting on a rapid liftoff for the service. In March, it agreed to purchase up to 20,000 compact cars for the service from Jaguar beginning in 2019. Both the Chrysler Pacifica minivans and the Jaguar cars will be equipped with radar cameras and sensors that Waymo has developed to enable the vehicles to drive themselves on public roads. Waymo plans to start its service in Phoenix, then expand to the San Francisco area and other cities across the country. Sears Holdings will be shuttering 72 more stores in 2018. They'll do it by September, and they've identified 100 unprofitable locations in total. They plan to close over time. This, in addition to the 64 Kmart stores and 39 Sears stores that have already shut down this year. The company will end 2018 with fewer than 1,000 locations spread across the country. Store closures were announced in tandem with first quarter earnings results, a loss, and revenue also fell sharply. Sears shares dropped 12%. Sears down over 60% over the past 12 months. The only Arizona Sears location slated to close in today's announcement, the department store at Metro Center in Phoenix, is the oldest major mall in the valley. Liquidation sales start June 14th. National Association of Realtors Index of Pending Home Sales hit a three-month low in April. The index tracks real estate transactions in which a contract has been signed, but the transaction has not yet closed. Pending home sales fell 1.3%. Consumer spending jumped 0.6% after a revised 0.5% gain in March. Americans increased spending by the biggest amount since last November, and outlays were strong, even if inflation is taken into account. The news was not all good, though. Drivers had to spend more on gas because of rising prices at the pump. The PCE index, that's the Federal Reserve's preferred inflation gauge, rose 0.2%, as did the core rate that strips out food and energy. The rate of inflation over the past 12 months, however, was unchanged at 2%. And similarly, the core rate was flat at 1.8%. That gives the Fed more room to pursue its current gradualist strategy of raising interest rates. A tight labor market and the lowest unemployment rate in nearly two decades are pushing up incomes, but households can't keep drawing down their savings to increase spending. The U.S. savings rate dropped a few ticks to 2.8% and fell below 3% for only the third time since the end of the 2007-2009 recession. Dow Industrials down 251 to finish at 24,415. S&P 500 down 18 at 2,705. And the NASDAQ Composite down 20 at 7,442. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, our daily blog, eatthebankers.com.